Today is the 25th of October, 2007, and we just finished watching Season 1, Episode 5 of SEAL Team.
Correct.
And we open in Juba, South Sudan, at the American Embassy.
We did open there.
Right. Yeah. The party.
Yeah, with some pretty, like, jazzy music opening. It was kind of like conga music playing when they opened up. I was like, oh, that's a fun embassy in Sudan.
Yeah, they got good music in this show.
I understand that you're still in touch with his wife and child.
Particularly attractive Western females.
Big problem, Big Chief.
So we open with some greaseball.
Yeah.
Oh man, I love this character. He is the fucking best.
What I wrote down as a note: totally rapey.
He's so rapey.
Oh yeah, totally.
Very pushy, but also a loser. You know, I don't think he ever actually like managed to get to the point of rape. Because he probably like undermined himself too soon.
Yeah, my note is that is this the rapiest show on TV?
It's pretty rapey.
Because he's like does the whole like not drunk enough. Here's more fucking booze.
You know what your problem is? You're not drunk enough. Stay right here,
Richard. Really,
Tony. Two G&Ts.
But if she had fucked him, she'd still be alive to this day.
Yeah, that's true. She didn't get raped.
Women,
she got murdered.
Understand that.
Lady, you know? Either you get raped or you get killed.
Yeah, and take the rape next time. Like, you know. So, she was an NGO worker.
Uh-huh.
And so, at
the party, like, the guy's approached by the reporter guy. And then he kind of, like, says this thing to him that's, like, but just, like, off the record. And I have a question. Is off the record, like, really a thing? Like, mm-hmm. if a reporter says that to you, can they actually, like, legally not publish what they tell you?
They certainly can't attach your name to it. Yeah. No, it is, like, or maybe that's just the journalistic integrity. I don't know about legal, but.
Yeah. It seems kind of like a citizen's arrest type of thing.
Yeah. It might just be, like, an understood thing, and if journalists start not following that kind of rule, then no one would ever go off the record. And I think that they rely on a certain.
Well, I think when people speak to journalists, they just kind of like trust their journalistic integrity. Yeah. But saying off the record, like when you're plying someone for information, and like the guy sees him as kind of like a hostile journalist. Saying off the record means absolutely nothing, doesn't it?
Yeah, I feel like it means nothing. Like, I feel like it's maybe like a courtesy, but it's not like
legally binding.
Yeah, if somebody says off the record, they can quote you and they.
I think they use off the record so much that it must be somewhat like it's not just this show. It's like. Very common in across all
TV shows.
Across all media.
No one publishes off the record. They would never. They would say, and you often read this like anonymous sources or an unnamed friend.
I don't think that anonymous sources are off the record.
Well, I just think that like anonymous sources are based on trust between the source and the journalist, and it's no. Like wink, wink, nudge, nudge, off the record. The magic words aren't said.
I don't think that many journalists would publish off the record information.
I feel like as an ambassador to say to a journalist off the record, I'm just about to bone this this girl over here. It's a bad idea in general.
I just gotta get a couple more drinks in her.
Oh man, such a scam.
So she goes for a ride with a man whose accent is maybe a bit over the top.
Well, it's a driver, whatever. Okay, so
the
drivers
are uneducated, right?
Huh?
Drivers are uneducated. No.
I don't know. It just seemed kind of like goofy.
I don't think anything of that, but
and so they get killed, although not on camera. We learn about that later. And then it's chow time.
Cafeteria.
And Jay sits down next to Beardo.
But did you guys see what the size of that flag was?
When?
Huge flag in the mess hall.
Oh, huge. Probably. I saw a lot of flag stuff.
Tons of flags.
Yeah, lots of flag stuff going on. But like when Jay sits down next to Beardo, he like nudges him in this kind of like really boorish way, but nothing is said about it. Did you guys notice that when he sits down next to him?
Oh yeah, he bum checks him.
Kind of like, I don't know if it was bum checks him or
as he sits down, totally on purpose. Yeah, he like sticks his butt into his shoulder.
Yeah,
I didn't notice that.
So then they talk about how the chicken's organic and they laugh. Stupid fucking organic.
But he did get out of Beardo that the lady in the photo is the interpreter's wife. So the interpreter was killed, and the Beardo is this. I guess Beardo's also in the photo. I assume that Jason would go to Ray to ask about the photo, but he went to Beardo in a more
because he suspects Ray because he's looking over
and also
Ray's
like,
in on it.
Yeah, like Beardo doesn't know about Nate's burner.
Beardo
phone
doesn't
whatever.
Know anything.
Yeah,
Beardo's the fucking dunce.
And so
he
gets out of him.
Beardo knew about the chick. Like he was very forthcoming with information, and I wrote a note that said, Beardo isn't such a dumb commie with an exclamation
mark. Well, he is, because he's just like blabs about all the information he has. It's all cool. Jay's sitting next to me. Yeah, buddy.
Well, he's like, oh, I don't like looking at a photo
like,
with Jay, two dead guys.
Jay cause... saw Beardo there, and he's like, oh, there's a room.
No. But like, so, didn't Beardo say he didn't like being in a photo with two dead people? Like,
he did.
So both Nate and the interpreter are dead, and he assumed that the interpreter's wife is dead, and that's how Jason figured out that the interpreter's wife is, or that's who she is. So now we know that's the interpreter's wife. We know who the mystery woman is. And then Nate, he goes to clear out Nate's cage. Oh, wait.
I think that...
Beardo tells him you gotta clear
out. No, first we
cage.
See Spencer picking apart his colleague's meal and then claiming that the guy's OCD.
I mean, you're eating an order right now. You're going meat, rice, green beans, 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 meat, rice, green beans.
Right, violent.
Meat, rice, green beans, meat, rice, green beans.
Yeah, I guess that there was a lot of Spencer Bryan love in this episode.
There was, yeah.
Which... I guess now.
And Spencer's being like a naggy wife.
Yeah.
Like Spencer's the worst. Every scene's like, ugh, shut up,
Spencer. But they
obviously
are good friends, right? Like,
I don't know. I think Brian's very nice to Spencer.
One interesting thing is that there's no phones in the mess hall. Like they don't have cell phones there because he gets a message, oh, someone's here to see you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. He makes a rape joke then.
To Stella?
To Stella.
What does he say?
Well, he's like, oh, you're violating my safe space and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a stupid idea, right? Mm. There's a lot of kind of like snide remarks.
Diminishing
yeah.
of like
yeah.
modern terminology, I guess.
But also, I really enjoyed when Spencer was approaching Stella and he was trying to put his hand in his pocket and he couldn't. And he just got his fingertips in there, and he tried to, like, jam the rest of his hand in, but he couldn't. And then he just kind of has this, like, weird hand in pocket. And then there's a cut, and it cuts back, and then he finally succeeded in putting his hand in his pocket.
One thing I noticed
got
is
tight
that
pants.
Very
they're
tight
wearing,
pants.
Like, fatigues in the mess hall, and then he changes into a jeans and t-shirt to go see Stella.
Really?
Yeah. They're like, oh, they say you've got a visitor, and he goes out, and he's wearing a completely different outfit.
Oh.
Then, yeah, I thought that was weird. I was like, oh, I guess, are they not allowed to wear their outfits outside of the compound, or what?
Outfits.
And so they're going to send J-Dog and crew into...
Oh, we have to get him cleaning out the cage, though. He's cleaning out Nate's cage.
Was that then?
Yeah.
Yeah, big flag in the cage scene.
Yeah, so I guess all the seals have cages because, like, you got to keep seals in cages. I guess that makes sense.
And
that would make sense while everyone's always hanging out in like sexy kind of overtones around their cage.
Yeah, it's their they're all in their underpants and they're kind of like hanging off the chains and they're glistening because they've just been working out.
Oh, glistening so hard. Yeah.
Kind of like the volleyball scene from Top Gun.
So they find, he finds the kind of fake passport, the mock-up of the passport for the interpreter's wife who Nate was calling on his burner phone. And it is like, it is pretty good timing
for it. It is a burner phone.
It is a burner phone.
I mean, it is a phone.
It is a phone. And
it could,
is a burner
phone. It could potentially be a burner phone, but they're assuming it's just a second cell phone.
And I guess if Jason had cleaned out Nate's cage earlier, he would have come across this.
Yeah, he's so lazy, eh?
Yeah.
You fucking clean up after yourself,
Jason.
Oh,
what is this? Like, so
not a very good detective.
I guess that Nate, I guess people must put notes in their cages for in case they die.
And old passports with pictures cut out.
Yeah, that was so dumb that he would store that in his locker, like, at the base, like,
by the way, this is super sensitive information and it needs to be destroyed, but I'm not going to destroy it myself. I'm going to wait till I die.
And here they reiterate this kind of like dogma that like a man has a right to be buried with his secrets, which is kind of like dumb. Probably, like, they keep repeating that. So I guess like anyone who's like murdered somebody and got away with it, fair game. Anyone who's like, you know, raped a bunch of people and got away with it, oh, you know, you don't talk about that anymore. Just the king of pop. Yeah. Or whatever.
Okay, so then we go to the first debrief of the whole episode, which is kind of exciting. I love these debrief scenes. Not debrief. What are they called? Planning?
Planning scenes.
So there's been election fraud in Sudan.
Well, alleged election fraud.
And
even Ray's not sure.
This is where we learn that the NGO and her driver were murdered.
Yeah.
I guess.
Are they in the plane yet, or are they still planning on the ground?
Not quite yet on the plane, but they're on the ground. But Ray says, okay, I have this in quotes. After it goes get Benghazi, the DOD can say they had a tier one team on the way.
Yeah, this was totally like a Benghazi like kind of allusion.
So it was like they're cover. So by sending a single like five people, they're saying that they did their due diligence and what.
Well, that was the whole like thing that like Hillary Clinton didn't have proper security for this thing in Libya, so they're just picked another country nearby and they're like, look, we did it right this time.
SEAL team.
Well, they had the right tier one operators in this one.
Yeah, they didn't have Jay before. Like before, they had some like CIA guy in there. You got to put Jason in there with Greasy SEAL guys back up and Beardo. Got to get Beardo in. And Ray. Of course, Ray did his part.
Yeah.
The perfect team.
And now we are on the plane.
Yeah, and they did like a very fun kind of like A-team rundown of their like vehicle.
Yeah.
You know, the gadgets. No bulletproof windows because they like to have it aerated.
I would like to know. So they couldn't do the side windows because they wanted to roll them down.
The front and back, you mean?
Why didn't they do the front and back?
Well,
maybe they did.
But the back, I suspect they would, except they shoot it out later.
Oh, yeah, they shoot it out. Like, it's like, it makes sense that it doesn't necessarily make sense, but yeah, they wanted to have.
Just they just want to look cool. They're like, ooh, we want to look cool.
Yeah, Jay just loves having his elbow out the door and kind of like scanning
but
for puss.
On their way
fucking
in,
hanging off the roof
have
a little bit, you know that way.
Yeah, totally. Get his wraparound blades.
They believe that they have, and they're all in plain clothes and stuff like that too, right? Like they don't want to be obviously American.
Kind
military.
Of, except they're running around with giant American flags on their chest again, which I thought was
kind
of
on their t-shirts.
No, on their like vests on their like
that was way later.
Only Jason has a gigantic American flag. Ray did not. I was checking that out.
They're not wearing their outfits at all, are they?
Yeah, it's not until way later that they put on their uniform.
But even so, like, you know, they're obviously in a country that's like anti-America, get the fuck out. So why would they run around with giant American flags on their chest?
And why would they try to be like relatively inconspicuous? Because everyone's going to know. Like, oh, it's like, oh, there's four white dudes in a nice truck.
Yeah. But they got one black guy, so that's legit.
Yeah, but he was never in the truck with them.
No.
They left him behind to defend the 198 fucking people.
Yeah.
So what's RSO?
RSO?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
So we're at the embassy. I liked that the guy at the embassy is surprised that the CIA lady follows the news.
Oh, yeah.
He was like, oh, you follow the news. Oh, you must follow. why would these people not know what's going on?
And also instantly when, like, Jason meets this guy, and the guy's kind of telling him some stuff, Jason is behaving like a fidgeting crack addict in withdrawal. Like, he can't, like, sit still. He's, like, looking left and right. And he immediately just, like, hates this guy. And I believe this is...
Crowley, or...?
Yeah, Crowley. Yeah, the ambassador.
Oh, I was talking... The other guys who said that to the CIA.
Which guy?
The older guy that...
The security team guy.
He's like...
He's all right.
But he's who made the remark to the CIA. Andy saying, like, oh, you follow the news? Like,
yeah. And she's like, it's kind of my job.
Yeah. She's like, it's my job. But it is like, what the fuck? Like, of course, there's like five people sent from the U.S. Of course, they all know what the... Crowley.
What about the radio station, you guys? Like,
which radio station?
When they're driving in before they get to the console and they do the walkthrough there, they're like driving in their sweet truck and they're listening to like a sweet pirate radio station that's giving them the rundown. Seems like the Warriors. The fucking is like. This cool like radio station, pirate radio. We're the U.S. pirate radio. I don't know. I really enjoyed that part. It was good.
It was a good driving scene. They drove pretty quickly past a bunch of people who were walking, making them seem cooler than them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they had the windows down, and Jay's got his
radio blasting.
Yeah, wrapped around blades. Yeah,
yeah. I thought it was a little bit like just how fast they were driving, like needlessly fast.
Oh yeah. I don't know. Like, they gotta get there, right?
Yeah, I guess.
I wouldn't want to cruise around. But yeah, the Crowley and the rank stuff. So he mistakenly calls Jason...
Lieutenant,
which is an officer. And then Jason corrects him to say Master Chief.
Yeah.
So do you guys know about all these rankings?
Yeah, Master Chief is in Halo.
Isn't he a chief petty officer? He's not a master chief, is he?
It's Master Chief Petty Officer is the full rank. And most people would... this show has a lot of the... I guess it is just... I don't know, when you're part of the culture, you must understand all this stuff, but I don't understand.
Yeah, I think this showed like the strengths of it, quote unquote, is people getting off on people getting like useless terminology like that, right? And they're like, yeah, they do it right. Because, like, you know, like, there is, like, a system in place for, like, addressing people. And, like, they do that very well.
I think they would definitely,
and that's what they really enjoy, having these kind of, like, details.
Respect a character who corrects someone who calls them lieutenant, saying, actually, it's Master Chief. And,
well, he doesn't want to be an officer.
I don't think he doesn't. So Master Chief is the highest enlisted rank.
But they've been shitting on officers, like, the entire show.
Yeah. Is Eric an officer? So Eric's an officer, right?
I think so. And Draper is an officer. What's-her-face was training to be an officer in the last scene when she had the officer webpage open.
Oh, yeah, right. Eric.
Yeah, and the guy was, like, ripping on her because he hated officers.
Mm-hmm.
Beardo was.
But, like, yeah, as soon as Jason and Crowley meet each other, just, like, hate each other.
Well, because Crowley's a piece of shit.
Well, Crowley fucking sucks.
Oh,
Jason's like, way better.
But no way.
I feel like they throughout the show they have this douche off that they're trying to like see who can be the biggest douche.
I'm pretty sure we're supposed to like Jason.
Crowley wins.
Crowley wins in the end. I agree.
Yeah, he's the best douche.
He is. And he like scoffs. He like calls Jason chief leader, but he like kind of scoffs while he does it.
He says lieutenant, like, and then sorry, chief.
And then and then like he calls him.
But also, Jason was a total douche to him when like he's just like when he says like yeah, and wait till it dies back down. And like during that whole meeting, they have this like petty little lovers quarrel, like in like in the middle of it all, and just like throwing like glances at each other.
So this is something that Jason said, like, the Crowley wants them to, like, I don't know, just take, he believes that they can handle it, and Jason's like, well, we have 5 shooters, and don't get me wrong, like, we're really good.
They are really good.
But
we've seen them. We've seen how good they are, guys.
Yeah. But, like, in the end, Jay totally owns it, when he's just like, yeah, if you don't mind, we'll go save some American teachers. And the guy's got shit to say.
And then we know from last episode that Jason doesn't really like teachers all that much.
He doesn't, but how stupid would he feel if he showed up there and one of those teachers was Dutch?
Dutch?
Yeah. Like, pretty fucking stupid.
I don't get it. Oh, they're not American.
Yeah.
But there were only 2 teachers. It was 3.
Were there?
And then they only found 2. One was lying on the floor and one screaming not to shoot.
What? No, there were 3 in there. I thought so. Oh. Yeah. But then we cut to Brian and Spencer, and Brian has a cowboy shirt on.
Yeah. Cowboy Bebop,
I have written. Bought him to wear to his grandfather's funeral, and that's the shirt he wears
to go bang.
To pick up ladies.
To get banged. Yeah, and it works.
I don't think he wears a funeral shirt. That's his lucky funeral shirt.
Yeah.
That was a short scene. They just intersplace all these little Brian.
Yeah, there's like 2 stories going on, and they're kind of
the editing was a little bit jumpy.
It was jarring. Yeah, and they didn't really complement each other. The 2 stories.
No.
But, whatever. And then we're back to Ray and the reporter, and there's a bit of, like, Ray is very pro-American, and the reporter is a little more critical, I guess, and trying to, like, get the inside scoop, sort of, but
the reporter was playing up the race card. He was, like, calling out the black cop. He was like, hey, buddy.
Like,
you're black and I'm black. Let's freaking take down the U.S. government.
Yeah, and then Ray's like, they only care about the color of your passport. Throwing in the nationalist.
Yeah, the color of the passport line.
Ray is very, very pro-American.
Well, he's a nationalist. Yeah. Like, they all are kind of, but Ray is definitely, like, more outspoken. But, yeah, the whole kind of, like, black undertone, like bro down is kind of like, ugh. Like, it was just like, then, like, the guy, like, says, like, you rolled in here with your big white boys, and then like Ray really took offense to that term. They're not big.
What?
They are bigger than him though.
Big white boys, and then Ray's like, "Watch your mouth." Like,
Did he say big?
Yeah.
Yeah, big white boys.
Which I guess Ray was really incensed at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I thought that was strange too.
Was like, I don't know why
they're not big.
They are making like. Whatever.
It was definitely this kind of weird, like, racial side section thing.
Racial side
but quest. The reporter kind of sucks. I didn't like the reporter. He was definitely, like, very, like, shut up, reporter.
Yeah. So then they go to... Although earlier he did shame Crowley when, like...
Yeah, when he talked to Crowley, he was cool. When he talked to Ray, not so cool.
Yeah. He was cooler earlier on. And then he was super cool... This is a bit of a spoiler when he got hit in the head with a rock.
No, he wasn't. Like, how did he get hit in the head with a rock in a windowless room? Like, what the fuck happened there?
There were windows there.
He's like peering up through the window.
So then we go to the school, and they're rolling up to the school, and the rules of engagement are if a guy wants to raise.
Oh, but I just want to mention that as they're rolling in, Jay has the sweetest wraparound blades out of all of them.
I didn't notice.
He's pretty much got the Terminator 2 blades.
Oh, yeah.
didn't they threaten their way through the checkpoint first?
Not yet. No. They're going.
That's it. That's when they got the blades. They pull up to that station and then.
They go to the school and they go through the checkpoint when they go to get the aid workers, but they're still. Going to school is first, the library or whatever. Like they.
Yeah, there's something I have in here that I really liked.
And they say like
Beardo with the candy.
Smoke bomb.
That's later. That was fantastic. I definitely had Beardo with the candy. But when they roll into that school and they disperse like the guys who are banging on the doors, they throw like a gas grenade. And one of the guys has this amazing like dive over the railing directly into the path of the grenade.
Yeah, it was hilarious. It was like this grenade clears out the sort of like hostile people, but it was like not particularly tactical. And actually, the next scene is at the party where that.
Well, hold on. What else do we have here?
Well, I have the rules of engagement are: if someone wants to kill you, raise up, kill him.
Yeah, I got the new seal face.
I think Greasy Beard is he's my favorite of the non-talking seals. Like, yeah. He drives a lot. He drove that blue truck.
The greasy
beard is the driver, seemingly. He's
yeah. Is he also the dog guy?
I think the dog guy has curly hair. What happened to the dog?
I missed the dog.
Yeah, the dog is just gone.
Oh yeah, no more dog.
No, I think the dog's still in there, just not in this episode.
They should always have the dog.
Okay. Can we go to the party scene now or no?
Yeah, there's like a very rude man named Evan who has a pretty ridiculous pad shirt. He's got like
the shoulder pads. And he's like, are there any positive Asian characters in this show? Like there was the Asian scientist that they shat on in the boat episode. And like then this guy is just like
he's the
only speaking characters in the show that are Asian or fucking.
But really, name like good characters in the show. Yeah, like Brian
Ray.
I think Brian is
not that great. Ray is not that great.
But Spence.
Beardo.
Spence sucks.
Okay.
I love Spence.
You guys.
He's such a like a weenie and like he just like. So smug, dipshit kind
of. How can
like,
you say that knowing what happened to him at the end of the episode?
It's not what happened to him, but he'll make it about him.
Okay. So I think that the Asian doctor guy, he wasn't bad. They shit on, like, the character shit on him, but his character wasn't bad. This character sucks.
Yeah.
He's a super douche. Actually, he's super rude.
That Asian doctor seemed like he was just like a regular person who was suddenly thrust into the world SEAL team and was just very confused by his behavior.
Like they treated him poorly, but he was not a bad person. He was just like, this is my field of expertise, but if you want to treat me like a piece of shit, go ahead. But I did like. Do you have something to say, Tay?
Nope.
Brian made a joke. Did you guys?
I love Brian's joke. Brian is my favorite.
Okay, because
I really hope to see a lot more from Brian.
Was being super rude to Brian, and then Brian said, "Well, most of our training is about bouncing beach balls on our noses,"
mm-hmm.
which is a total SEAL joke. It's like a SEAL pun.
Yeah,
joke.
I get it.
Talking SEALs.
Yeah, man, it's good. I like it.
Uh-huh. It was bound to happen.
And then that's the party. Does anyone else have anything to say about the party?
The party looked pretty fun. Like, I'd go to that party.
What did you think looked fun about it?
Lots of people chatting, moving around, the swishing dress, like the intro to the scene was the swishing skirt following Stella through the crowd. It was probably some of the best direction in the whole episode.
Couple of dudes standing by the sink.
Mm-hmm. It's kitchen party, man. Always.
Yeah, there was no silent ops in this episode. It was all like, you know how some of the better scenes are like the silent ops?
Well, I liked some of the. I like when they roll up on that checkpoint. I thought that was like a nice point of tension.
Which is the next scene, actually.
Yeah. But I thought that Jay's strategy for like.
Yeah.
How they're going to get through was like pretty ridiculous because as soon as like. They could just get waved through and then just shot up as the guy walks away from the
vehicle. Yeah, it was silly. Yeah.
So they were told, like, okay, this is the National Army and they'll switch sides. Like, they don't have an allegiance necessarily, and so I think that they don't have maybe he was counting on that they wouldn't risk being shot up because they knew that they had their own high-powered weapons. I don't know.
I think just he was counting on that one guy not wanting to get shot up. He's like, oh yeah, this guy's a coward. I'll just point my gun at him and tell him I'm going to blow his balls off and we'll be fine.
I like that he fell for the trick. And
come and look what I have.
And his line was, yeah. Are you insane, sir? Do you want to die here?
Give peace a chance. But they exchanged, they had a nice exchange. Give peace a chance. And then the guard said, John Lennon, yes? You know? I don't know, whatever. Yeah, they could have totally
full killed
them after they went through the checkpoint. They could have just
especially after they brandished weapons at them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like as soon as they like roll away a little bit, be like, all right, shoot them up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then they go to the aid worker and his wife, and they kind of, both of them draw parallels between their work and the SEAL team's work. Like they
I thought that was kind of odd.
Like, you don't leave when your work gets dangerous, so why would we? And then, and they also say, like,
that was a good line.
And then when they talk about the, they were like, well, you've heard about the NGO worker that died, and she was like, yeah, she was a dear friend, but you've had friends that died too, right? And so they're just saying, like, leave us.
And then
here.
Jay's like, yeah, I'm a good friend, Nate. I've been going through stuff. I gotta tell you all about it.
I just like, love it when Beardo's like, yo, I got zip ties and two shoulders. This guy.
Yeah, there's Beardo. Beardo is Murdoch. Baseball is B.A. Baracus. I guess Jay's gonna be Hannibal. And Faceman is Ray. Ray's Faceman.
Yeah, they.
But there's like a funny thing that happened, like right when they met the irrigation people, is that the whoever wrote this thing decided that it's important that the audience know that the wife designed the irrigation system.
Oh, and so also that the guy's name was Eric Wilkinson.
It's not the same Eric from
no
SEAL team.
No,
I was kind of hoping it was the same Eric.
How would that be the same Eric?
I liked that goat. Whole introduction scene when he's just like, Eric Wilkinson! Hi!
is this the
so yeah, they
Beardo
know the risks and
scene?
They're willing to take it.
What is the think? Beardo candy scene here at this point?
I think it was, and right, that's what I missed. I wasn't watching, but I heard something about here, take this, or whatnot.
Yeah,
it was super great. Like, Beardo says something to a kid, gives him candy, and says, caring is caring, and then he gives him a little tap on the nose and goes, boop, boop.
Oh, I missed that entirely. How did I miss that?
Yeah, that's pretty great.
How fast was it at this scene? It was at that location?
Yeah, it was
totally
at that location.
Missed that.
So, Beardo just rolling around with pockets full of candy.
Yeah, I was thinking the same
lessons
thing.
Lessons on sharing.
How you doing, little buddy? Here, take that to your buddy over there. Sharon's Karen. Oops.
And you know that candy? It's like pretty hot there, right? It's just goopy mess.
Mm-hmm.
It's been sitting like near his crotch.
Candy, it's okay.
Warm pocket candy.
Yeah.
So we find out that this aid worker is the son of a major campaign donor for Crowley.
Yeah, who also happens to be running SEAL Team.
Running SEAL
Team? Yeah, he's running Eric.
Yeah, that shit was weird. Like, I thought that Eric was Crowley's kid for a while, and then it turns out that Eric is some rich American's kid, not Crowley's kid. Like,
he's the same age as Crowley.
I don't know. Like, it was just a...
No, yeah, it was just, like, they sent them there on, like, a bullshit mission, which was just further making...
To get them 2 hours of town, 2 hours till twilight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Megan Draper, like, gets all up in the ambassador's face, and I felt like she was really channeling Carrie from Homeland here.
Yeah, she gave him a sick burn. She burned
did.
Him sickly.
Oh, yeah.
I forget what it
was. And
but...
she said, I will burn you in
life. Oh, yeah.
unless you call everyone out. So, yeah, they go back through the roadblocks, which have been taken over militias now. And
again, so pirate radio station, cool, hip announcer guy. And now they've got to make it through the city with all these gangs after
them? Well, we got Checkpoint 2.0, right?
It's kind of like, yeah, Checkpoint 2.0, man.
Yeah. Which is where they shoot out the rear window, I think.
Yeah.
Should have put some bulletproof on that. But I like that scene where they, like, mark their targets, and then they do this kind of, then they hit control enter.
They know to kill.
Yeah.
And, you know.
That was cool. And
execute.
Yeah.
I like how Jason says if they go for the, was it 50 cal or whatever? If they go for that large gun, shoot him in the face.
Yeah. Nowhere else.
Yeah.
If they go for their sidearm, shoot him in the heart. Because they're loving individuals.
Do they, maybe, I don't know. I just found the whole windows down thing was stupid. Like, how they're concerned about bulletproofing so that they can, like, look undercover. But, at one point, is it Lisa is in there talking to the AMBO? And Lisa is like, make the official request and whatnot, like just after this scene. And then she leaves him. But I don't think that she would have trusted him at all.
No. Well, she was like, yeah, make the call. And he didn't take her advice. It wasn't until later when Megan Draper goes in and is like, you're fucking calling evac or I'm going to burn you. Because she knows about whatever.
No, but that was a different call.
She didn't know anything. She was just going to, like...
That was before.
Oh, no, right. She does know. Yeah, he sent them there. He sent them there, like, knowing that he wouldn't evac.
Yeah, she knows...
For his own political aims.
Yeah, he went to... He risked the lives of American soldiers or military personnel... For his own political gain.
But Lisa rolls in at a different scene. So there's two scenes. There's one where Megan Draper tells him to say something, and then there's one where Lisa comes in and tells him to say something. Is her name Lisa? And she's like...
Lisa Davis, yeah.
She says that he has to say that he wants evacuation in order to get the convoy there.
Mm-hmm.
And like it seems like such bullshit. Like, is that the way it really is? With like, if an ambassador to a country, who cares? They're not a military person. They're not like. Why do they have so much power?
You know why, Adam?
Why?
Diplomatic immunity.
Oh.
Name the movie. Name the movie.
I can't.
You really? Lethal Weapon. Probably. I think Lethal Weapon 2 or Lethal Weapon 1. I think it was 2.
I never would have gotten that.
Oh, really? Diplomatic immunity? Classic. And then Murtaugh has to kind of like consider it. It's a classic scene. You guys got to watch Lethal Weapon again.
Yeah, I guess.
2, I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's 2.
So, okay. So Jason and them are trying to get back, and Ray's trying to guide them in, but it's super smoky, and they can't.
It's very smoky.
I'm sorry.
Everyone's chanting.
I'm sorry. I gotta go back to the scene that with Lisa and the AMBO, and when she tells him what to do, and then she starts walking away, he under his breath mutters, "You're dismissed."
Oh yeah,
and that's like my favorite line that he fucking did. It was so funny.
What did he say?
He's just such a wiener. Yeah, the ambassador tells her that she's dismissed after she tells him what to do.
Yeah. He also becomes like super panicky all of a sudden. Like, so he gets basically like blackmailed into doing something. And then instantly he becomes super concerned for his safety and what's going on, which I thought was kind of like strange.
I think it's because he didn't realize the full extent.
Well, he
of
still
the
doesn't.
Situation.
He's still a dumbass. Like, but he just becomes like really panicky and scared, and he loses all his arrogance and like swagger.
Yeah.
Only just because he was being blackmailed. It's kind of weird.
So there is a brief scene where Spencer and Brian are together, and Brian's putting his shirt on.
Oh, like, right when they have to go out for...
Yeah, he's like, we gotta go for this, like, training session. We have 15 minutes. And then, like, Spencer comments to Brian, like, I told you you get lucky, and Brian says, I told you, the shirt never fails.
Yeah. Like, he really hated his grandfather.
Like, yeah, grandpa's shirt. Funeral shirt never fails. I don't know why they had
He must have banged at the funeral, right?
Maybe,
like,
yeah.
A lot.
I guess they say weddings and funerals are, you know, I don't know. But,
good places to bang.
Then we cut to Lisa Davis and Ray. And they're kind of planning, so they're left behind in this facility, and they need to figure out how to get to the convoy.
Well, they weren't left behind yet.
Well, no, not yet, but like the rest of the
we're not quite there, I don't think, yet. So, like, Spencer and Buddy are late to
That's meeting. After this.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
That's right after Spencer and him left the party, and Spencer really wanted to help clean up.
There's like the drive, and they end up at the roundabout, and they're like going around the roundabout. There's smoke everywhere. They can't see the smoke, and they kept calling Lisa TAC. So is Lisa like tactical support or something? Or Ray, maybe?
Lisa is not full combat ops.
No, she doesn't do combat.
Yeah. She outrigs their vehicles. She is their.
She's trained for combat.
She's like B.A. Baracus, but she doesn't drive.
It's like she's trained for combat, but she doesn't participate in combat.
And she doesn't know how to use a gun. When he gives her the gun, she's holding it like it's a fucking like foreign object.
Well,
I've only shot
at
non-living targets. Whatever.
She said the targets I shoot at don't
That's
shoot
ahead
back.
Of time, but yeah, like... So then like Ray finds the reporter who got hit in the head with a rock. right. And like I guess he starts like putting like a giant bandage on his head. And, like, he's not going to make it. I'm like, I'm pretty sure he's going to make it.
Okay.
But then they have to walk out, and he entrusts her with the weapon, which is like, here you go, lady. Like, don't fuck this up. And they're walking in the hallway, and I guess, like, two guys pop out from around the corner, and she's, like, got her sights trained on them, but she doesn't fire. And then they run away. And
they see the gun.
Yeah, and she looks over at Ray, and Ray's like, gives her, like, the nod, like, yeah, you did pretty well. They're just like, ooh, thanks.
Yeah. Oh, you didn't panic and kill everybody. That's a good job.
Yeah, she didn't kill them unnecessarily. I do think that was a good job.
I just think it's kind of funny that she's, like, looking for approval from Ray when she's probably very well trained to handle that situation.
Yeah probably knows
it.
Like,
did I do good, Ray? Did I do it?
But also, there is a term here that it was an acronym that even I knew without looking up, which is the ROE.
That's rules of engagement.
Yeah, the rules of engagement. Of course it is. Yeah,
I kind of knew that. I didn't know that, but I'm going to pretend like I did.
Do you guys know what Ray's call sign is?
Ray Dog.
Nope. Bravo Rayburn. 2.
Bravo.
Ray was, in this she's situation. Like, sit rep, Bravo 2. Sit rep, Bravo 2. That's
do you know
what Lisa
sit
says
rep,
to Ray.
Do you know what sit rep stands for?
It means situational representation, which is like a kind of voting.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Well, I was going to say situational reporterage, but it's both, maybe.
I think Bravo 1 and Bravo 2 can change depending on the mission, right?
Yeah. Red Leader was always Red Leader.
Then they go, and the convoy is not there. The fucking Crowley left without
fucking
them.
Crowley.
He was really upset.
You
I
know
don't
what?
Blame him. He was very
they
upset.
They had teachers with them, and the teachers would have done a head count.
Yeah. And also, the teachers probably wanted to get out because they're all a bunch of cowards.
Where did the teachers? Because you know what? The teachers. Where did the teachers go? They would have been with the SEAL team. They must have taken. The old man took them back.
Like, they just left. They left the teachers with that. Like, so there was the cool guy in the embassy that they went. He got the phone call to go get the teachers.
Oh, yeah.
And then he took the teachers back to the base.
Okay.
And they let four SEALs drive off to pick up, like, two guys. I think, like, I think that the whole storyline is bullshit. Like.
What?
One, I don't think that only Ray would be left back at the base. Two, I don't think that they would have had four dudes rolling around to pick up like two guys from a irrigation factory.
So, yeah.
So then the protest. So I have a note here just saying that I feel like all the protesters who are extras in the background took the same class on being protesters. Yeah. Just pump fist in air, shout, go home.
Slam hands on window.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that was filmed somewhere in the United States of America.
I think it was probably filmed in Sudan.
But the way that they saved the day is that Crowley, you know what? He wasn't supposed to leave the flag. But if he hadn't done that, they wouldn't have been able to draw attention away. Like, their big thing was they changed out the flag.
Well, they could have still risen, like, their flag. Maybe the people were being more incensed by the sight of the flag. Like, he could have been escalating. It probably should take it down. And then maybe people would have chilled out a bit more.
Oh, like, maybe, yeah, they would have just...
I think one of the interesting things about this is, like, so Ray directs them to this roundabout, and then all sorts of shit happens. And when Ray calls them to say, hey, guys, you need to come pick us up, they're still in that fucking roundabout. They're still just driving around in circles. Yeah.
Well, it's hard to get out of the roundabout. It's hard to get out of the roundabout sometimes. Yeah, you know? Like, people keep merging in, and like you've got to go around again.
No, they were going through the center of the city instead of going there. And I think that they turned around and came back.
They were in that roundabout.
They were in the exact same spot. Being
like shown over and over again. Yes. And it's... like, I recognize some of the extras kind of, like, milling about.
He's like, keep going around. Just keep going around, man. Yeah. We'll find exit 3 one of these days.
So...
and,
They get... this flag saves the day, though.
I guess.
In the flag scene, it shows the flag on top of the embassy, and then it shows Jason with a massive flag on his chest.
Yeah.
And no one else has a big flag on his chest. Like, well, no, Ray doesn't. Jake. Yeah. And so, and then it's like, flag, 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 yeah, flag, 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 flag.
And then Jason's burn. Like, wait, this gives me an idea.
I'm going to burn Crowley because he didn't bring the flag.
And so they do the flag thing, and then all of a sudden they're like, okay, the back gate is clear, and then Ray starts moving towards it, but it's completely hanging open and limp and loose.
Yeah, like, I noticed that too. Yeah, it's open.
It's just kind of like, they had just breached it, and yeah, they're like, forget it. Wait,
go around front.
Yeah. I didn't notice that. I thought he had just hit like the gate open button or something.
No, it's just kind of like hanging there. And so then they go out onto the street.
Oh, no, he did hit the gate open button. You're right, Adam.
Did he?
Yes.
Yeah, it was all planned.
Well, he hit the front gate open button. Did he hit the back gate open button?
Yes, he hit the front. There was no back gate open. It was just kind of like a... kind of... it had like motors on it. It was just kind of like hanging limply.
No! I think he hit two open gate buttons. One for the front, one for the back.
No, the back one was just not motorized. It was just kind of like a latch.
Well, it all worked out in the end. Thank goodness.
So they walk out towards the back, and they're like, oh man, we're out in the open. And it's like, oh no, they're coming. And it's like three guys walking down the street with a flag. Like, what do we do? What do we do? And then Jay comes burning around the corner.
No, like, style. Jay like, doesn't come burning around. Oh, Grease comes burning around. Greaseball.
Grease power slides to save the day. Yeah, but and then those three guys who are probably like a lawful, peaceful person, like, let's get out of here.
I thought one of them had a weapon.
I don't know, just three. Like, Ray could have handled that with, like, you know, half a bullet.
Yeah.
So now they get on back on the plane. They kind of shame the pseudo ambassador with the flag. And then it.
Oh, yeah. Definitely douche down. Like, douche patrol.
And then it cuts to Clay and Spencer. Wait, that is the same person.
Clay and Brian.
Brian and Clay.
And I wonder what kind of car Brian drives.
Yeah.
Probably something really sensible, like a Prius, I think.
Yeah, I think.
Like a nice guy car.
But with flames on the side.
I don't think he has the money to get a Prius.
Oh, yeah. Totally sweet flames.
Just like a nice... skulls of flames
on a Prius.
Like, just Brian telling Spencer, like, I like your girlfriend. She's nice.
I give her a thumbs up.
And then back on the plane, the reporter gives a big ups to Ray, saying, I guess you really were the one man or something.
Yeah, I didn't quite get that line.
I didn't understand what he said either.
But it was a reference to something I didn't understand that they said to each other earlier. Like, I don't know, the conversation earlier didn't really make sense. But they definitely, like, bro fist bumped.
Yeah.
It was weak, though.
It was kind of weak.
I often have to rewind awkward, whatever not necessarily Ray says. Weak. I think Ray mumbles a lot, and I always have to be like, what did he say? What did he say? Mm. And he often says it really fast and under his breath almost. And you have to go back and, like, see that he said something. But, yeah. So, I guess you really were the one man is what I have. But I couldn't really make it up.
Yeah, it was a reference to something they said earlier that I didn't quite understand. Mm-hmm.
Then we cut to they're doing their jumps. This is awful, you guys.
Yeah.
This is really sad.
Wow. Like, especially since Clay is the reason that Brian went and got drunk.
Yeah,
and wasn't necessarily in his top performance. They went to a fucking party and they didn't know they had to get up and go, like, jump shoot. Like,
I guess that it's like you have to get up at any
time. So, you know what's interesting here is that I guess the shirt isn't that lucky after all. It's a cursed shirt.
Well, he wasn't wearing it when he was jumping.
It gets some blade, but it was
lingering. It's a lingering curse because, like, it was a death shirt.
Yeah.
I wonder if Spencer's going to, like, inherit that shirt.
But yeah,
we should follow that shirt.
Just awful. Like, I loved Brian. I really liked him.
I think Brian may have survived. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand why he would have caught. People do survive falls from planes. Like, break every bone in your body. But you're also trained how to break your fall.
Even the guy, he called him the casualty. He was like, okay, we gotta go. We don't have an identification on the casualty. They knew that he was dead.
Well, they
also
presumed.
I also just don't think that shit happens.
But spoiler alert, Brian's only credited on IMDb with 2 episodes.
Oh, that is a spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Ooh.
I know.
Not Brad, like, Ray.
In the next 2 episodes?
But we need to generate guilt in Spencer, I guess.
Yeah.
Spencer
knows what Brian has taught him about being a good SEAL and Brian's character sacrificed to make Spencer a better person.
No way,
you need to be good to that girl and you need to be yourself because when you're yourself, any SEAL would want to roll with you. That's what he
that's
said
very,
multiple times.
So hopefully he takes. Yeah. Hopefully that's the lesson he learns, and he doesn't just like lash.
I am full on Clay. I love that guy.
No way,
you
Clay's
like
a loser.
Clay? No,
Clay.
Brian's the best.
Yeah,
though.
Brian. I'm Clay. Brian. Clay. Brian.
In the
only
next
good thing about Brian dying
see.
Now was that Richard?
I think in the next episodes, we're gonna see Brian's ghost.
Maybe
Spencer will be having like little chats with Brian's ghost,
and like Spencer gets like tactical operations with the ghost, and he's got like a ghost sidekick.
Like when Brian was struggling with his parachute, he was just like, "Strike me down, and I will become more powerful than you could ever imagine."
But I'm hoping that next episode there's going to be a funeral scene and Spencer will be wearing the funeral shirt to Brian's funeral.
Oh, I think Brian's too
and then he'll get laid by some random chick at the end. Cha-ching.
Yeah. Oh, I get it.
It's so sad. I'm very sad. And because I wanted to see more of Brian, but I guess that brings us to the end of the episode.
Brian was the Ray.
I'd like to
Clay.
Bring something to the attention of the group, which is not to do with the episode.
But first we have to bring something to the attention of our listeners, which is that we have an Instagram account now.
Oh, yes.
You can follow us at @talking_seals on Instagram. So follow and like our posts. We're going
to
post.
Yeah, make sure to give us lots of thumbs up.
You know, there'll be like weekly updates, but also just sort of like daily updates on our thoughts on the show, different kind of...
If maybe we hear about the seals in the news, you're going to hear about it from us.
Yeah, so first, if you want to know what's going on first with the podcast or with the show...
And, you know, there's a lot of fake news going on around
there.
And so if you want to know the facts, you can just tune into our Instagram.
Talking _ seals. So I believe that it's... Instagram.com/talking_seals. You guys know what to do. You know how to
just do internet things.
Do internet things.
But I'm just very
At talking_seals. Like, everybody knows that these things are at talking_seals.
I'm very happy for the two followers we have so far. And Adam. Thank you for following our Instagram.
Yes.
Very nice.
You're welcome.
And also a big thank you to Judd
Lorman
for following us.
Oh, Judd Lorman.
Yeah, a.k.a. Eric.
Lieutenant Commander Eric Blackburn is following us on Instagram. So thank you.
I wish we had someone
for listening.
But also, like, I'm a little disappointed that we have an officer following us before any other way.
Yeah,
the officer is pretty lame. Like, you know.
An officer who has very little respect from his master chief, I would add.
Eric, if you're listening, you gotta slap Jason across the face, because that shit has to stop.
You gotta pull rank. Is that the expression? Pulling rank?
Well, just, like, pull your balls out of Jason's mouth. Or no, wait. His out of yours.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
whatever. The most submissive.
I don't know.
But anyways, it is nice to have Judd following along. I hope he's enjoying this podcast, because I believe that any Instagram follower is also a podcast.
And Judd, thank you very much for being a big fan.
Yes.
We are also, in a way, big fans.
Yes, yes.
I like your character, Judd.
There you are in the
background.
There
he is, a lot of, like, fun shots
here. I guess he's like
are you guys eating? What would you call him? Oh, they're doing their
makeup. Not a beardo, he's more of a stubbleo.
He's a stubbleo.
A stubbleo.
He's just a whimpering commander who doesn't have control of Jason, because he can't control a typhoon like Jason.
Jason's
the alpha.
Yeah. There's a lot of, we started our Instagram account, and I did
try. Ooh, he's got Ric Flair on here, I think. Is that Ric Flair? I'm looking at your Instagram, Judd. Obviously, you're listening to this.
I think,
is that Ric Flair?
At talking_seals should probably like his shit.
Lorna?
What is
this? Like all his posts.
Say? Yeah, it would have been a major loss in wrestling if he was gone.
Oh, did someone die?
Can I jump in a little with some information here? Just some technical details.
Mm-hmm.
So last week's episode, which got some props by Matic here, was directed by Larry Tang, and Larry Tang is famous for Hawaii 5-0 and Supergirl.
Supergirl. The new series that's kind of airing or whatever.
Yeah, but tonight's episode was by Ian Toynton, who is the first non-American director. So maybe they had to show he's from England. Yeah.
Oh.
And he's done Bones
over there.
And 24. Right?
He's done 24,
Mm-hmm. So I guess this is going to be out of order, but are there any rating statistics that we can...
There sure are.
Okay, Adam.
Yes.
Can you tell us about how SEAL Team Episode 4 did?
Well, SEAL Team Episode 4 had problems charting on the top 10 TV show downloads on rarbg.to, thanks to our sponsor, rarbg.to.
But
and
how are you doing the actual
since the debut, so the debut did feature heavily on their top 10 TV show downloads, and it appears the downloading community does not necessarily approve of SEAL Team. But the Nielsen ratings for last episode were pretty consistent, though they are going down. So we had a 1.1 out of 4, so only 1.1% were watching, 7.1 million viewers. And like it's going down. Like it was eight last time.
So what is Modern Family at?
Modern Family, I didn't check it out. I'm sorry, but I did see a SEAL Team advertisement on a bus. Yeah. And if they've got the budget to put the SEAL Team on a bus, I think that this show could really turn around and get to the top of the Briar BG downloads.
Yeah.
DZSO, this is Bandit 1. Jumper is impact ground about 800 meters northeast of the drop zone.